My friends, in Christ, grace and mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. The words I'd like to consider this morning with you are from the first letter of St. John, part of our epistle reading this morning, especially verses 4 and 5 of chapter 5. John writes, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" This is the Word of God. Please be seated. So last Sunday, we heard about the spirit of the Antichrist that is in this world and how that spirit dominates the hearts and the minds of people who do not know how to test the spirits. And so people become overwhelmed and overcome by the spirit that is in this world. A spirit of arrogance that believes there will be no accounting for sin. A spirit of unbridled anything goes sexuality. A spirit of relativism that says there is that truth and morality are whatever you want them to be. A spirit of tolerance and acceptance and the celebration of every conceivable lifestyle and choice. And a spirit of intimidation that bullies anyone who does not fall in line with the spirit of this world. All of these and more are all a part of the spirit of Antichrist, because these things compete against Christ for our hearts and minds. And sadly, they often overwhelm us and they overcome us. Well, as we continue reading in John's first epistle today, the Lord's beloved disciple takes on yet another spirit that is in this world and a spirit that is in the church, a spirit of doctrinal indifference that says, as long as you believe in Jesus, other doctrinal differences are not important. Now, in the days of John, this spirit was very much alive and active in the early church. There was a man named Cerinthus, a contemporary of John. He was born in the Roman province of Asia, and he established a school, and he gathered disciples to himself, and he became very influential in what was being taught about Jesus Christ in the first century, and he gained a very large following of people. Cerinthus believed, among other things, that Jesus was the natural son of Joseph and of Mary, and not the Son of God, but just a man. He believed that the Spirit of Christ descended upon Jesus at his baptism and left Jesus again just before the crucifixion, which of course would mean that God never became a man, God never died on a cross for us, God never rose again for our salvation. Now, had you asked Cerinthus, he would have told you that he was a Christian. He was a follower of Christ. And the spirit of doctrinal indifference in the church would have simply taken his word for it without questioning his teachings. We would just leave it at that. I mean, what does it really matter if I follow Cerinthus or John so long as I believe in Jesus? But St. John knew by the testing of the spirits that Cerinthus was in fact opposed to Christ, and his teachings presented a grave danger and a threat to the Christian faith and the church. As a matter of fact, it was likely that the false teachings of Cerinthus prompted John to write his gospel and his letters with such a strong emphasis on the divinity and the humanity of Christ, which is why John writes things like, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, not became the Christ, but is the Christ, is born of God." And again, "Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is, not became, but is the Son of God?" John was not doctrinally indifferent, but he understood that false doctrines are of the Antichrist, and they have the power to destroy Christian faith and to rob us of our salvation. Doctrine matters. That's why St. Paul advised Pastor Timothy, keep a close watch on yourself and on your doctrine. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. Doctrine matters. To believe false doctrine is to be lost forever and damned. But to believe true doctrine is to be saved out of this world by Christ. Well, in our day, the spirit of doctrinal indifference is no less alive and active in the church. One of the things for which we pastors sometimes take some heat are sermons, such as this one, where we say things like, doctrine matters. We are told, and I've been told this, you know, Pastor, we really shouldn't focus that much on doctrine. Because that's a big turnoff to people when pastors talk about false teachings of other churches. Because that comes off as though we're so much better than everyone else. And the premise behind that kind of talk is that, well, doctrines really don't matter that much. But St. Paul warned Pastor Timothy. He said, the time is coming when people will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Talk of true and false doctrine is not what itching ears want to hear. Itching ears want to hear that it doesn't matter what you believe, but that as long as you are sincere and you try to be a decent person, then God will accept you. And all roads lead to God. That is the spirit of Antichrist. It comes with a message that suits our passions and that satisfies our itching ears and so overwhelms many people and even many churches with a false Christianity. But John will have none of it. As our Lord's apostle and his spokesman, he must combat false doctrine with true doctrine for the sake of God's dear people and their salvation. Because in the end, it is faith that overcomes this world, says John. Faith in Christ overcomes this world because Christ saves us out of this world and out of our sins and out of hell. And what does faith take hold of but doctrines? Teachings. Doctrines is just another word for teachings. And then you might say, well, Pastor, my faith takes hold of Christ. To which I say, well, that's very nice. But how do you know Christ except through the doctrines of Christ and the teachings of his apostles? To separate Christ from the doctrines of Christ is to worship a false Christ. And that's why doctrine is so vitally important. It's why you should care about it. And you should care that so many of your neighbors and even family members have been overwhelmed by false doctrines. As St. John writes in his second letter, he says, everyone who does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the doctrine has both the Father and the Son. Obviously, isn't it obvious? A faith that takes hold of lies has no power to overcome anything. And those who believe lies have been overwhelmed by this world. But a faith that takes hold of the doctrine of Christ is a faith that saves us. Because Christ is he who overcame this world for us, overcame our sins and Satan at the cross and at his open tomb. You know, there's another prominent false teaching about Christ that's in our world, and especially in America here, that says that Christians overcome by following the principles of Christ and doing what Jesus would do. Remember WWJD, the wristbands, what would Jesus do? But John could not be clearer. It is not our obedience to principles that makes us overcomers. But it is our faith in Christ as he is known to us in the doctrines of the apostles. Hear this again from St. John. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And again, who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes? We overcome this world when we believe the truth about Christ, that He is God of God and light of light and very God of very God, that He is begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and on the third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, where He sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. Anyone who confesses these doctrines in faith has already overcome this world. And will, of course, also desire to overcome the will in their own daily living. That's very much a part of it too, yes. St. Paul encourages us in Romans 12, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Overcoming evil in the world and in our own lives is just a natural outgrowth of having overcome the world by our faith. We believe in Christ, so we want to overcome sin in our own living. And then there are the blessed promises to those who overcome. Here's just a little Whitman sampler from the book of Revelation of the promises to those who overcome. Chapter 2, verse 7, to him who overcomes, I will give to eat of the tree of life. 2, verse 17, to him who overcomes, I will give a new name. 3, verse 5, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will confess him before my Father and before his angels. Chapter 3, verse 12, he who overcomes, I will make to be a pillar in the temple of my God. And 3, verse 21, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me at my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. And so we are not overwhelmed by this world, not at all, or by whatever happens to us in this world, because we are, as John says, we are those who believe in Jesus Christ. And therefore, we are overcoming this world. That's good news. In the name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.